Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
If you're trying to text me or call me, I won't get it. I don't have my cell phone. So, good morning, otherwise, everybody. Tim Wildman here on American Family Radio. By the way, is this a new microphone?
We think we added an attachment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We added an attachment to our microphones. Wow, they weren't working right or what?
Don't ask me what it does. Brent may know.
It looks like some kind of filter. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. I think it filters things if you're not supposed to say things. It knows.
Really?
Yeah, and it'll filter it out.
Hey, with President Trump around, we don't need these things anymore.
No.
Nobody needs
filters.
We
can say whatever we want.
Just say what we feel, which is refreshing.
Yeah.
For a president to say what most Americans feel on a variety of different topics. We're going to talk about that today. Ray Pritchard is back from one of his travels across the U.S. of A. How you doing, Ray?
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Doing well. Where are you getting back from now?
Well, we just got back last night, my wife and I, from 16 days on the road to 11 states. We did our northern swing to Kansas City and Chicago and Western Montana, and we drove 4,300 miles in 16 days, and so I'm here. I'm mostly here this morning, Tim.
What was the worst weather you faced?
Oh, up in Montana. Now, Fred warned me before we started this trip. Fred warned me, and he was right, of course. Snow and ice and sleet and freezing rain, and then something I had never seen before called freezing fog.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Fred Jackson, freezing fog expert here for American Family Radio, a well-documented Canadian roots. What's freezing fog, Fred?
Freezing fog is just what it sounds like. It is basically ice pellets inside of fog banks.
Huh.
So the moment like it would hit your windshield, freeze, or your car. It's
you drove in that, Ray?
Yes, yes, and not very safely either. Because as Fred knows, once you get in there, you know.
You ain't getting out.
You ain't getting out. You're not getting out.
Well, Ray, you don't sound like you have the accent to be driving in that kind of stuff, man.
Well, you know, I would do better on Texas roads than in Montana roads, that's for sure.
Oh, my word. But you're safe and sound and
safe
was able
and sound.
To. Going, what, you taught the Bible at several different places?
Well, I had several meetings and preached, and then got to see all of our grandkids. This was a little bonus trip. Got to watch my son preach at his church in Missoula, Montana.
Mm.
And so that was thrilling to be sitting in the audience and watching him bring the Word of God last Sunday. So
amen.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Amen. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
What did he preach on?
Okay, Judges 2 and 3.
Wow, I am impressed. You remember, this
good.
Is 5 days later.
Yeah, Judges 2 and 3, and it was a good – you don't hear a lot of messages from Judges 2 and 3. Come to think of it, that's the only one I ever heard. So, yeah, it was good.
Amen, amen. Walker, what are we going to be doing on our Facebook page for Today's Issues?
Well, we're live streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page, and we also have some good stories that we're going to be posting, some very encouraging stories about what's going on in our country that'll be posted on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Red, promote One News Now real quick, and then let's get to the stories of the day.
One News Now, onenewsnow.com is our internet spot for American Family News. You can go there and get the very latest news from across the country and around the world. But also, we do follow-ups so that you get a Christian perspective on the news of the day. We have a great team of reporters. Each has their assignment. And you can go there, get all caught up in what's happening around the world. And most importantly, you get the news, pro-life news, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on politically. You get all that from a Christian perspective. So it's one stop. And if you would like to get it in your email each day, a report on the major stories, you can sign up right on the site for that. We will only send you one email a day, and you'll get a nice summary of the major news happening around the world.
That's very helpful.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are very busy. They work 8 to 5, maybe even later.
Mm-hmm.
They have kids, you know, responsibilities, church. But if they can get the One News Now email once a day, they can just scroll through, kind of see what's going on.
Yep.
stay up to date.
I need to correct myself from yesterday. I made a mistake. It's the first one of the year. I'm really disappointed in myself. But during the program, we were talking about Pocahontas. And the conversation came up because Senator Warren, what's her name?
Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. She, you know, was famous for saying she was
164th? 132nd.
Oh, 132nd yeah. American Indian. All right. And when she was running, I guess she was trying to appeal to the Indian vote in Massachusetts, whatever that percentage may be. But anyway, as a result of that, if you look at her, she looks like a white librarian. Okay. All right. So she's not, you can't tell she's got any Indian in her. But for that reason, Donald Trump mocks her and calls her Pocahontas. So he refers to her as Pocahontas. Well, in my mind yesterday, I was thinking about Sacagawea, which is a famous Indian princess who traveled with Lewis and Clark on their expeditions, and she was very valuable to she's a very valuable part of American history. And I got the two confused in my mind, and Pocahontas did not travel with Lewis and Clark.
She was before their time, right?
Yes, she was with Captain John Smith in the Jamestown area, and that whole story in the 1600s. So,
which is also an amazing story.
We had some folks come on the Facebook Today's Issues page yesterday and correct my history, Ray. So I just wanted to set the record straight there. I do know the difference between Pocahontas and Sacagawea. I don't know. I took a left turn. I should have taken a right turn, basically, on that moment in American history. But that being said, again, mark that down. First mistake of the year, and we're nearly through with the month. So, you know, one a month, that's too many for me, but we'll see how it goes. Fred, what's going on, my friend, in the news?
Well, first, we have a pre-show meeting every morning, and Ray mentioned to us that today we're supposed to get an update on the doomsday clock.
Oh, good. Good. Looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that.
What is that?
The doomsday clock. Well, it's been around since the 1940s. And basically, and Ray, chime in here, it kind of takes the temperature, according to this group of scientists, of how close we are to the destruction of the world. Now, you don't usually talk about it. I've heard it used in sermons, actually, you know, that it's right now it's at 3 minutes to, am I right, Ray?
They moved it.
They did.
About an hour ago. They moved it 30 seconds closer to midnight.
Okay.
2.5
Why did they move it? What happened? What did I miss?
Oh, total world instability, threat of nuclear proliferation, Iran, North Korea. I mean, there's some bad actors out there, Tim, and mm-hmm. they just say, this is the closest now at 2.5 minutes to midnight. And they announced this about an hour ago. This is the closest to midnight. We would call it the apocalypse
now,
in 64 years.
It's the doomsday clock.
Yes. Right.
Are they affiliated with Joel Osteen in any way?
These are secular atomic scientists.
Okay.
It was started by the guys who worked on the Manhattan Project in World War II, developed the atomic bomb.
Okay.
So they're just asking, how close are we to, you know, to blowing ourselves up or destroying the planet? And they judge closer than we've been since 1953.
Just real quick, I was joking because Joel Osteen is known as quite the opposite of a doomsdayer.
All right.
Everything's good.
Here comes the Facebook.
All right, go ahead. So,
it's interesting. I did a little research since our meeting this morning, Ray, and the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, which is group involved with this of setting the clock, they released a statement earlier this week, and they were asked about what was going to happen. Well, they said, quote, a rise in strident nationalism worldwide, President Donald Trump's comments on nuclear arms and climate issues, a darkening global security landscape that is colored by increasingly sophisticated technology and a growing disregard for scientific expertise. Now, you know, I question.
That doesn't sound very even-handed, does it?
No, it doesn't. Why are you bringing climate into this, and why are you bringing nationalism into this? Has his nationalism is increasing the dangers? Mm-hmm. And I suppose they're talking about what's going on in Europe, what's not going on in Britain, and the election. They mentioned Donald Trump. And this is what I was afraid of, Ray, is that they wanted to bring that into the equation. This sounds to me more like a political statement than a statement truly representing what's going on, you know, security-wise around the world, in my opinion.
Well, and it certainly is left-wing oriented, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And even without recent political events, we do live in a dangerous world, and we ought to be concerned about, you know, nuclear proliferation and so on. It's just interesting. They judge us as being a little bit closer to midnight than we were before. So,
well,
I don't know.
So basically what you're saying, that these people have been around a long time, they're the doomsday clock. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, yeah.
Okay, so they pushed it up to how many minutes till midnight?
2.5 minutes.
Minutes till midnight, based on President Trump being elected.
Well, and his national. But you know, what they did mention in that statement is also interesting. How come you wouldn't mention ISIS?
Yeah.
How come you wouldn't mention Iran getting nuclear weapons? You know, why don't you talk about them?
Right.
On the other side, you remember that President Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
1 month into office, or whatever it was. It was soon after he was sworn in. You remember that?
Right. What, Ray and Fred, do they signal out a day? Or is this just what time of the day they think this will occur?
No. It's not time of the day. It basically, their measurement, when it hits midnight, the world's going to blow up.
Okay.
Literally.
I see.
Yeah.
They're going to be proven right, although nobody be around.
It's almost
to
like a rating of 1 to 10 on how likely something is to happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's going up.
Yeah. Right. What they're wanting to do is that part, as Ray and Fred have said, politically driven. They're wanting to make Trump look like he's some scary monster who's going to take us to war and end the world. And the climate change thing is, if you don't believe in man-made global warming, then you are a flat earther, okay?
Right.
Basically, it's how these people want to project things, and so that's what that's all about. But Donald Trump, I heard the other day, President Trump took off all references to global warming or climate change from the president's, from the White House website.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that true?
Yeah, because he's got his priorities in order. You know, he's talking about the economy, fighting ISIS, getting illegal immigrants out of the country, building a wall, things that are more important than debating over whether climate change. No one denies that the climate changes, but what they're wanting to say that we're all causing it, and that
well, specifically Americans.
Yeah, specifically us.
We're causing.
Yeah.
And the American population represents 6% of the whole world.
Right.
6%.
Right. Yeah.
All right, we're causing it to heat up, though. Yeah. Personally, I hate cold weather, so you know, I'm going to be living maybe 30 more years.
So you're okay with global warming?
Well, I'm just saying it's not on my radar right now.
You wouldn't mind?
In all seriousness, I do not believe in man-made global warming being catastrophic to the Earth. That's
assuming it's even happening.
If you're having climate, the reason they switched off, Fred, the expression global warming, is because we weren't warming anymore.
Yeah.
We've been cooling for 15 or 20 years, and so these people said, you know what, this is not working for us. We've got to have another term that people will be more apt to buy into. So let's get off the global warming and change it to change the expression to climate change.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what happened there.
But we can talk to people like Ray, who just came from Montana.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was cold up there.
Yeah.
No global warming in Montana this week.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. We are live video streaming on our Facebook page for Today's Issues, and Walker is posting the articles that Fred is referencing. And Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us from Dallas. Fred, Ray, Walker, and Tim What else you got there, Fred?
Well, you may find this hard to believe, but Donald Trump is still making news 5 days into his administration. Now, yesterday, a couple of things happened, of course, and we can get into this a bit later. He talked about and confirmed. He went down to Homeland Security offices and said, hey, I'm with you guys. And he got a big cheer from the crowd there. And he says, we're going to build that wall. This is going to happen. And we've got some money in the bank, and we're going to start. In fact, he referenced back to 2006 when Congress actually passed a law that said we're going to do this. So he's going to go ahead. He repeated once again, Mexico is going to pay for this wall.
And he doesn't say how Mexico is going to pay for it. He won't give that away.
He won't give that away, but he says be sure they're going to pay for it. But then he was somewhere in his agenda yesterday, he found time to do an interview with ABC News, which was aired last night. Mm-hmm. And what is making news today is his comments. He was asked about his views on torture in relationship to how he plans to handle terrorism. And we're going to play a little excerpt from that interview with ABC News and listen to the questioning and listen to his response on that.
Mr. President, you told me during one of the debates that you would bring back waterboarding and a lot worse.
I would do what I would do. I want to keep our country safe. I want to keep our country safe.
What does that mean?
When they're shooting, when they're chopping off the heads of our people and other people, when they're chopping off the heads of people because they happen to be a Christian in the Middle East, when ISIS is doing things that nobody has ever heard of since medieval times, would I feel strongly about waterboarding? As far as I'm concerned, we have to fight fire with fire. But I have spoken as recently as 24 hours ago with people at the highest level of intelligence, and I asked them the question, does it work? Does torture work? And the answer was yes. Absolutely. I will rely on Pompeo and Mattis and my group. And if they don't want to do, that's fine. If they do want to do, then I will work toward that end. I want to do everything within the bounds of what you're allowed to do legally. But do I feel it works? Absolutely, I feel it works.
So you'd be okay with it as president?
I will rely on General Mattis, and I'm going to rely on those two people and others. And if they don't want to do it, it's 100% okay with me. Do I think it works? Absolutely.
Is he basically talking about waterboarding there, Fred?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know, Ray. I think he's expressing what a majority of Americans feel. What do you think?
Well, when ISIS is blowing up buildings, when they're driving cars into crowds, when they are chopping off heads, we shouldn't be surprised that extreme measures are going to have to be used to bring them to justice. And, you know, I really liked what he said when he said, I'm in favor of being tough, but I'm going to defer to Pompeo and Mattis. That's exactly the right kind of answer.
Pompeo, of course, is the new CIA director.
Right.
And Mattis, General Mattis, is the Secretary of Defense, true?
Correct.
So he's saying I'm going to rely on those two guys in there. You know, the fact is, I don't know what the fact is on this. My guess would be, Fred, that this would be something that's used very rarely.
Right.
And waterboarding, I watched waterboarding on TV. Waterboarding does not, it's not like cutting off one finger at a time. No. All right, waterboarding makes you feel like you're drowning.
And you're not.
And you're not drowning, but it makes you feel like you're drowning. And it's psychological torture more than anything else. And the idea is to extract information from people who want to kill Americans. And so I think what Donald Trump is, to me, it's common sense.
Yeah.
You just say, Walker, you just say, if our top security guys, Mattis and Pompeo, tell me this is necessary in an immediate effort to save American lives, or one of our cities is going to be bombed, or something terrible is about to take place, and we can find out information that would prevent it, then if you got to waterboard somebody, go for it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah, and also let's consider this. Most Americans agree that we just need to kill the terrorist. But if we're okay with killing terrorists, which I think is justified in war, then why can't we waterboard them?
I know.
You know, we want to end their lives and kill them and shoot them and let our military take them out and bomb them like Obama's done. But we can't put a rag over their face and pour a jug of water on their face.
Right.
You know, this it's ridiculous, and it's all PC.
Don't you think, Ray, they're just trying to trap President? I say trap. They're just trying to put him in a negative light.
That whole interview by ABC, in a way, was an attempt to keep pushing him to make extreme statements. And I just don't think anybody can disagree with the way he answered the question.
Yeah.
That we live in dangerous times. We're going to do what we need to do, but I'm going to defer to the experts in the field to tell me what they want to do. How could anybody fault his answer last night?
President Obama would fault it if he were there.
Yeah,
this is so refreshing to hear some common sense. Mm-hmm.
And there's one more that's being quoted in this story. Senator John McCain, totally opposed to it.
Opposed to what? Waterboarding?
Waterboarding, yeah. Not going to happen, he says. We're not going to allow it.
Well, he has his views on that. But I think most Americans, I'm not saying all, or maybe even a vast majority, but I think most Americans would say what Ray just said, that the president, that is President Trump, is expressing common sense, and his first priority is keeping Americans and our country safe. You're listening to Today's Issues. Do you have another clip from this?
No.
That
was the main report.
I wanted to mention, I've got a news story here. Walker, you want to tell us about this here?
Yeah, it's just breaking this morning that Vice President Pence is, I almost said Vice President-elect, Vice President Pence is going to be speaking at the March for Life tomorrow.
Yes.
Which is taking place in Washington, D.C., which is on the heels of the 44th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And this is going to be the first time a vice president speaks at a major pro-life event like this.
It's an annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. And if you're within driving distance of the nation's capital, please go and support this. It's Saturday, right?
Friday. It's
Friday, tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Vice President Pence is going to be there. Kellyanne Conway, the president's senior advisor. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the interview with Trump last night, he brought this up. I think, Walker, you were telling me about this earlier. And he's talking to this one of these anchors from ABC, and he brings up the March for Life tomorrow. And he says, of course, you guys won't be covering this.
Yeah.
You never cover this event.
Yeah, David, I forgot the guy's last name from ABC.
Muir, yeah,
he asked Trump, you know, when you were at the White House Saturday, could you hear the voice of all the women and children marching in D.C., referring to the Women's March, which, as Tim has stated, was a march for abortion, essentially. So he's trying to get him in. Could you hear their voices, yada, yada? Trump said, no, I couldn't hear their voices. But what I will tell you is that there's going to be almost 1 million people, maybe more than was at this Women's March, going to be marching for life here in D.C. on Friday, you know, and I doubt you guys will ever cover it. But that's important.
Yeah.
Well, the March for Life, I don't think, God bless Donald Trump for standing up for life, but the 1 million people won't be it. Is that what he said?
Well, no, he said maybe more than we're at the Women's March.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an annual event. It's not a one-time thing. Women for Abortions March last Saturday was a one-time event that people have been planning for a long time. The March for Life is an annual event to commemorate the day of Roe versus Wade, the Roe versus Wade decision, and to mourn over it and to pray for an end to abortion in America. That's what will be taking place. And we praise Vice President Mike Pence for speaking at that event tomorrow on the Mall in Washington. And we praise President Trump for standing up for life. And so we just wanted to say that. We're going to take a break and come back. Dr. Richard Land will be joining us. Get his thought. He's been in the culture wars a long time. Get his thoughts on this new administration when we get back from this short timeout. Stay with us.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose? If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Educators across the Fruited Plain have gone slap crazy since President Trump took the oath of office, turning their classrooms into breeding grounds for anti-Trump propaganda. One California teacher drew a caricature of the president as Hitler. Another school district developed anti-Trump lesson plans. And we lost track of the number of schools that refused to broadcast the inauguration over fears that some fragile snowflake might take offense. But now the rhetoric has taken a very ugly turn. In Dallas, Texas, a teacher was filmed firing a squirt gun at President Trump's face while screaming, "Die!" And in Pennsylvania, a school board member wrote these words, "Make America great again," with a clean headshot. You know, it's bad enough our public schools have been turned into social engineering petri dishes, but now taxpayers are having to foot the bill for wannabe presidential assassins? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You never know what Todd's going to say, do you, Fred?
Well, I can tell you one thing for sure.
Yeah?
He's never afraid. He's never afraid to say what's going on out there.
By our good friend Todd Starnes there.
You bet.
Todd is originally from Memphis, the Memphis area. He lives in New York City, works for Fox News, and does that commentary Monday through Friday, and we really appreciate it. He's a good friend. Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me today, with us here today from Dallas, and Walker Wildman's running our Facebook page, among other things. Walker does here, but so check out the Facebook Today's Issues page. What do you think, Ray, while we're getting Dr. Richard Land on the phone, about Vice President Pence going to speak tomorrow at the March for Life in D.C.?
To me, this is one of the most important things to come out of these early days of the Trump administration. You know, Tim and Fred, the president didn't have to do this because he was already sending Kellyanne Conway, which was a big thing. Yeah. But to send the vice president in person to speak to the March for Life, that says a lot. I mean, people wondered, was before the election and you know, afterwards, but before the inauguration, was he really going to make good to stand up for life? So to me, this is a huge symbol to evangelicals, to Catholics, to conservatives who are on the side of life, that he really means what he says. So big news.
What a change from the last 8 years where you saw hostility from President Barack Obama and Vice President Biden towards the unborn. Now you have an administration that wants to celebrate the unborn, wants to save the lives of little unborn babies. What a contrast.
Let me just say, folks, this last election, of course, has come and gone. And had Hillary Clinton won, had she won,
then the pro-life issue, as far as the legal aspect of it, would have been lost forever. Lost forever. And I'm talking about the courts would have been completely taken over by these secular progressives. Hillary Clinton would have appointed pro-abortion extremist to the Supreme Court. And not to mention religious freedom. Don't even want to get into that. I'm just talking about the life issue. So with Donald Trump, you know, he made a commitment. I'm going to appoint a pro-life Supreme Court justice, and my administration will advance pro-life policies. That's basically what he said. Now, he was a convert to pro-life. He was pro-abortion himself at one time. Something happened to him in the last 5-10 years on this issue, and he is following through, at least right now, with his promises to advance the pro-life cause. And this fact that a vice president would go and speak to the Right to Life rally tomorrow, the March for Life in Washington, D.C., is a significant, open, unapologetic promotion of life. And again, it's a new day. And thank God. Go ahead, Ray.
And you know, Tim, we're 1 week away exactly from when the president is going to announce his nomination to the Supreme Court. He's going to do it at the National Prayer Breakfast. if you look at the top two or three names that are mentioned, I think we have reason to be very hopeful that next Thursday we're going to get a very good nominee who's going to defend the Constitution and stand up for life.
I'm going to be there, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Thursday.
That's great.
At the Presidential Prayer Breakfast in D.C. Well, joining us right now is Dr. Richard Land. He's president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he is a longtime warrior for righteousness and truth and the Christian faith in our country. And he wanted to get his thoughts on what's taking place. Good morning, Dr. Land.
Good morning. And I want to tell you that if I have been a longtime warrior, I had a wonderful tutor and colleague in your father.
Yes, and he speaks mutually admirably of you.
I tell you, there's nobody I admire more than your dad and his stand for truth and righteousness. I'm going to be at the prayer breakfast too, but you know, one thing that sort of has not made much publicity that I want to share with you is that we all know that President Trump reinstituted the New Mexico City policy, which bans foreign bans U.S. taxpayer money going to help fund abortions overseas. But he didn't just do that. He expanded it. As one pro-abortion critic said, the New Mexico City policy that was signed by Trump is the gag rule on steroids. The original New Mexico City policy that would have cut $600 million has been expanded now to all foreign agencies that they, if they even refer for abortion, they cannot get American taxpayer money. It could be up to $9.5 billion in aid that will be lost. So Mr. Trump has gone farther than Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, or George W. Bush in his New Mexico City policy.
What do you think? Do you know the story of what happened to Donald Trump on this issue?
Well, I know what he says about how he turned around on the abortion issue. It was because he had a couple who had a baby, and they were thinking about aborting it, and they didn't abort it, and he said, "You know, it's a wonderful child." But I also think that people have had a lot of influence on him, and when it comes to this New Mexico City policy, I see Kellyanne Conway's fingerprints all over this one.
Yeah, and Vice President Pence.
And Vice President Pence, too. But I mean, this makes him way beyond our previous pro-life presidents in terms of making sure that American taxpayers' money does not go to fund abortion overseas.
Well, you know, and it's so refreshing to have somebody stand up for life unapologetically. A lot of times with your Republicans, they'll say they're pro-life, and on their campaign literature, they'll say they're pro-life. You get them in an interview situation, they start getting wobbly-kneed, They don't even know how to articulate their
That's
own
right.
position, and they want to moderate and vacillate, and you just sometimes you just want to just you know.
Well, they've been infected with political correctness, even if they don't agree with it. They're intimidated by it. Donald Trump is not intimidated by it.
Oh. Ray, go ahead. We keep saying it's so true. He's not intimidated. Maybe Ray, go ahead with Dr. Land.
Dr. Land. Say something about the significance of Vice President Pence coming and speaking in person to the March for Life tomorrow.
Well, it's huge. It's huge. It shows a level of commitment, public commitment, mm-hmm. to the pro-life cause that we never got, even from Ronald Reagan, even from George W. Bush, who were clearly pro-life. But this is unprecedented. Now, Mike Pence has spoken at the march before. He spoke when he was a congressman. But to send the vice president, that's huge. It is huge. Mm. Or as President Trump would say, huge.
I think, too, Donald Trump is setting an example for other Republican leaders. I was listening to the Republicans are in Philadelphia today for their annual gathering, and I was listening to how Paul Ryan was handling reporters this morning, and I said, all of a sudden he sounds like Donald Trump does with reporters.
Yep.
He says, I'm not going to accept anybody hollering out questions.
Yep.
This is a new Paul Ryan. So
well, it's confidence is contagious.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Well, Richard, the stock market is soaring. There's economic confidence, a renewed economic on this front, the economic front. There seems to be a new sense of optimism. This is kind of what Ronald Reagan brought in, wasn't it?
Well, it is. It is, and once again, it may be Ronald Reagan on steroids. I mean, you know, if indeed they cut the corporate tax rate to 20% even if they don't make it back to 20%. That's a 15% increase in corporate earnings for every corporation in the United States, backdated to January 1st of this year. No wonder the stock market's taking off. That's like rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard, and we're talking to Dr. Richard Land. He is the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. And tell us about your seminary there. Who's it for?
Well, it's for both ministerial students and lay people. All of our courses are offered online. We're accredited. We offer a bachelor's degree, several master's degrees, apologetics and divinity, and a PhD in apologetics and philosophy. We specialize in apologetics and philosophy. We try to integrate apologetics, philosophy, and theology into all of our courses. And we're starting a new concentration this next fall, philosophy, politics, and economics. We feel like that there's going to be tremendous opportunity for Christians to be involved in public policy and in government, and we want to prepare them to be knowledgeable about economics. And politics, as well as philosophy and theology. And our average student is 35 years old, has been out of school for at least 4 years. Just to give you an example of what's possible, my son-in-law, who lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just finished a 2-year Master of Arts in apologetics degree from us. He finished it in 3 years, took all of his courses at night. Our courses are offered at night. Most of the courses, all but three of them, he took streaming. So he took them in real time. So he was able to ask the professor questions, interact with the other students who were online and in class. Some students were in class, some were online. And now he finished the Master of Arts in Apologetics. The only time he set foot on campus is when he graduated. And now he's in our PhD program.
Amen. You had one more question?
I have one more question for you, Dr. Land. If Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, was to ask your advice on how to handle illegal immigration, I'm asking this of you because there are some inside the evangelical community, there's some tension on how the president should handle the matter of illegal immigrants in this country. How would you advise him?
Well, I would advise him to proceed with his plans to build the wall. We have to secure our borders. A country that can't secure its borders is not a country. Mm-hmm. Just like we lock the front door to our house, we lock the doors to our houses. We need to have control over who comes in. This country's our home. We have to have control over who comes into our home and who doesn't come into our home, who they are, what they're doing, why they're there, and when they're going to leave. Secondly, I think that he needs to proceed apace with doing everything he can to put pressure on these cities that are flagrantly disobeying the law.
Sanctuary cities.
Yes, sanctuary cities. What they're doing is no different than what George Wallace tried to do or what Lester Maddox tried to do. You do not have the right to defy federal law. Immigration is a federal category. It's under federal law. Mm-hmm. It has federal enforcement. And I think cutting off, I saw a headline today that Mr. Trump's actions may cost New York City $7 billion. Well, good. they are defying the law. He should send, James Sessions is confirmed, as Attorney General, he ought to send in federal agents to these cities and say, you know, we're going to have immigration agents in the jails ready to pick up these people when they get out. Criminal aliens, people who have committed crimes, need to be arrested. They need to, when they finish their sentence, they need to get out. They need to be sent out. They should not be released. Mm-hmm. And if a country says, well, we're not going to take them back, we say, well, I'll tell you what. Until you agree to take your aliens back that have committed crimes in this country, nobody from your country is coming to the United States. We're not going to grant any visas. Mm-hmm. And if you get any aid from us, that aid is going to be suspended mm-hmm. until you agree to take back your criminal citizens.
Yeah, that'll take about 5 seconds.
I guarantee it will.
About 5 seconds to change their mind on that. Dr. Richard Land's been our guest. Dr. Land, thank you so much for your thoughts and appreciate it. What's the website for the seminary?
SES.edu, SES.edu, and you can get all the information you need. And we'd love to have folks. We have a lay institute as well. If people just want to know, we have a series of courses they can take that are a little less demanding than the bachelor's program, and they can get equipped to be better equipped to defend their faith. We're training SEALs, Rangers, Green Berets, and paratroopers for God's army.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Okay. All right. That's Dr. Richard Land. Ray, your thoughts on what Dr. Land was talking about there?
Well, he's exactly right on the immigration side of things, that President Trump is only doing now what most Americans have wanted done for many years, mm-hmm. but we haven't had anybody in the White House with the courage to do it. And Fred, I love the statement that he made. A nation without borders is not really a nation. Why is that so hard for some people to understand?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because of this globalist mentality mm-hmm. that we saw demonstrated for the last 8 years that we shouldn't have borders. I would call it that European Union mentality. Oh, anybody arrives at our shore, just bring them in. But we're seeing how good that's working out in places like Germany and Italy and Greece and other countries like that. It is one thing to say it on paper. It's quite another thing when you finally get into it. Well, there's a reason we have borders. It is to, as Dr. Land was saying, we look at the people who want to come into this country. If we think they can add to this country, contribute to this country, they sincerely want to be an American, sure, let them in. But if they're here to do other things, to just live off the country, if they're here just to create problems, then we're not going to let you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That President Trump said that yesterday. Said if a nation without borders is no nation at all, and one of his plans yesterday in talking about this, in his plans were 5,000 new border security agents. True, Walker.
True.
And 10,000 new ICE agents.
Correct. He's tripling the size of ICE.
Right, and then start building the wall. And let me just say this, too. What we've had for the last 30 years, basically, in this country, is people pouring into our nation from our southern border. And basically, just bussing them around the country and putting them in different places, mm-hmm. or catch and release is what they call it. If they're caught, if they happen to be caught, then they are told, you know, we're going to let you go, put you on a bus somewhere to your family, wherever you want to go. You need to come back here for your hearing. Well, they don't. They don't come back.
Right.
So, I mean, this whole thing has been a farce. And what President Trump ran on was, let's get control again of our southern border, and we have to. And he's instituting that. He's instituting the plans to be able to do that. I mean, one other thing about that is, and that's not xenophobic, and that's not racist. Is it? That's just common sense. That's just smart. That's the responsibility of a leader of a country, is to protect borders and control immigration, Ray.
So, you know, I was thinking just on the biblical point while you were talking, Tim, God cares about borders. All you have to do is read the book of Joshua. When the 12 tribes moved into the land, he actually said, okay, Asher, you go here. You go up by the mountains. Or he said, Benjamin, right. You go here. Judy, I mean, he said, like, down to the point in the book of Joshua where it says, okay, where there's a creek, that's where your property ends. You know, you get the mm-hmm. meadows up to the mountains, the other tribe gets this. And when they were, mm-hmm. when Moses and the children of Israel were marching through Sinai, when they came into the region of Moab and Ammon, they actually asked for permission to pass through. Now, wasn't granted, so there was a great big battle, but it just shows in the Old Testament that God respects borders and boundaries. We ought to be at least as smart as the Lord in respecting our own boundaries.
I think this is speculation, but it's an educated guess, and some would say, duh, Tim, really? You're onto that now, are you? But I believe that the secular progressives in this country, the globalists, as you call them, and President Obama represented them, Hillary Clinton the same way, they don't want borders. Now, they won't usually say it like that, like I just said it.
Mm-hmm.
But for all practical purposes, that's the way they operate. And that's the way Barack Obama operated. He doesn't want a border because he wants people to come here and flood our country illegally so that they will become Democrats, and the Democrats and socialists and progressives, and then they will drown out the Republican Party forever, and also just flood the system. I think, you know, that's a very sinister way of looking at it, but that's the conclusion I've come to. That's the reason that President Obama basically didn't do anything. Now they're going to say, the Democrats are going to say, he deported more than anybody else, talking about President Obama. Well,
he also let in more than anyone else.
Well, like remember last year, was it 2 years ago, when you had hundreds of thousands flooding, and a lot of them were children coming from Honduras and other places, right up through on trains, right up through Mexico. Mexico didn't do squat to help stop it, but then they come here, and President Obama wouldn't even go down to the border.
No.
And look at the crisis that existed. He just put them on buses and shipped them around the country and told the different cities and states, here, they're your problem now.
You know, I remember one of the videos that came out in the last eight years. Somebody went down to the border, and it showed guys on Sea-Doos, you know, those watercraft.
On the Rio Grande River?
Yeah, taking people from the Mexican side, unload, go back, unload, go back, unload. And I said, this is the border? This is what Barack Obama says, we have a secure border? Right. I'm watching people, you know, they're probably being paid $1 a passenger, bringing these people. Yeah. It takes about 3 minutes to get across right. the river. This is what we have been living with for eight
right.
years.
Right, right. And quite frankly, the Republican administrations before that did very little to
prohibit
it either.
It's really embarrassing that you have to brag that you deported the most people. That means that the most people arguably got into your country illegally. You should not have
to. President Obama?
Yeah, your borders should be so secure that you don't have to deport record numbers.
I don't remember. I shouldn't even mention this because I don't remember all the details and specifics. I can look it up maybe at the break. But there's something about there's some funny ways they counted the numbers on those deportations that the Obama administration says mm-hmm. they deported more than anybody else. It's like they walked across They came across and they sent them back right across there, and then they came back and they counted it as two deportations.
Oh, I've heard of up to five times.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, five times.
Right. So they count that as we just deported him five times in 2 days.
Yeah.
So they count that in their deportation numbers.
Well, it's like owning
he's crazy.
Well, it's like owning a jewelry store, and you're bragging about how many times you've had to call the cops before the thief breaking in.
Right. Instead of
why don't you lock the door?
Yeah.
You know.
Right. One other thing on that, and then I want to quote from President Trump on Twitter about the potential for an upcoming meeting with the Mexican president. But if you put another thing this does is if you put a physical barrier up, and that, it's not going to be along the whole border because that's impractical and unnecessary. And President Trump has said that. But a lot of the high traffic areas, and then you use human resources, you use drones, you use electronic fencing or whatever you want to use on some place where the terrain would not allow for you to put a physical barrier. But if you put a physical barrier up anywhere for any reason, it's a deterrent for people coming there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that if you live in somewhere in southern Mexico or you live in Central America, and you find out, well, you can go to the American border, but but the chances of you getting in are very slim, then you're not going to be so willing to pay the money to give it a chance or to even go in the first place if you think there's a high likelihood that you're going to be stopped at the border because of a wall. You see what I'm saying? So that word filters back to the people who might want to come here illegally, and it deters, it stops, it inhibits. And that's just common sense, just like they're putting a wall up at President Obama's new home in Washington, D.C. They're putting a brick wall up around it. Why are they doing that? Well, they're doing that to prevent people from coming in illegally to the house, right. Make it harder for them to do so.
It's a recognition there are bad people in the world.
Right.
Shocking
right.
news.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, Mexico, very strict about their own immigration. And you come in there illegally, they're going to deal with you. Mm-hmm. And they don't have just open borders in Mexico. And, you know, that's their right as a country. Well, America has the same right. President Trump tweeted this, and I don't know when the tweet was. I'm looking at the story. It had to be in the last.
It was this morning.
He tweeted this morning. Here's what he said. Here's what he tweeted. The U.S. has a $60 billion trade deficit with Mexico. It has been a one-sided deal from the beginning of NAFTA with massive numbers of jobs and companies lost. If Mexico is unwilling to pay for the badly needed wall, then it would be better to cancel the upcoming meeting, end of quote.
We've never had anything like this.
No.
Ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kind of stuff in the old days, as in a few months ago, right, was said behind closed doors.
Yeah.
President Trump he's doing foreign policy on Twitter now.
Well, this sounds like the founding fathers, like George Washington saying, well, if the British doesn't want to come to a deal, tell them not to come over here.
Speaking frankly and speaking common sense, I think what Donald Trump is saying is if they're not going to do this, Mexico, I'm not going to waste my time.
Nope.
Isn't that what he's saying for him?
He's saying, I'm going to put America first. That's right. What he's saying. And he said, also said he's going to start negotiating bilaterally trade agreements. Mm-hmm. No right. more being stuck in bad agreements.
Donald Trump is not against trade. No. Donald Trump is if you want to trade, I'm going to talk to you one-on-one.
Yes.
We're not going to be a part of some conglomerate where America, you know, is just like some third world country or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's wow. Well, we'll take a break for 5 minutes and see what else Donald Trump's done in the last 5 minutes. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.